Welcome to the Pata Martins podcast. My name is Céline Terranova. I'm an author and brand new podcaster here to help you in your creative career. This show is all about advice, support, and inspiration for performers, writers, musicians, and any kind of artist. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the Part-Time Artist podcast. Today, my guest is T.A. Hernandez, who is a fantasy and science fiction author. Together, we talk about writing a trilogy, self-publishing, and mental health for creatives. As usual, let's start first with the latest news. In 2 weeks, I'll be at the Young Adult Literature Convention at the London Film and Comic Con. I'm so looking forward to this convention. I've been twice before and people are so nice. And you can meet your favorite YA authors and also discover new ones. So every time I come back with way too many books. This year, I'm also thinking about bringing a microphone with me and do some interviews for the podcast. Of course, nothing is certain yet, but I hope I'll be able to do it. And I really hope that I'll be able to meet some of you there too. On the website, I had the first guest writer. Carriad Eccleston wrote about her experience preparing for the big leap before she became a full-time author. I recommend reading this article if you think about doing the same as her, and it has a lot of advice, it's very interesting, so if you want to read it, it's on the website, and if you want to write for the blog, you can. Check out my submissions page at thepartimeartist.com/submissions. And in more personal news, I'm currently finishing the edits of the third draft of my YA sci-fi novel, Healers. This project has been a long time coming. I'm talking about years here. And I'm really excited to have reached a level where I'm really happy with the story. I'm not sure how I'm going to publish it yet, if I'm going to self-publish or query agents, but I will let you know when it comes out. Right, that's all for today. Let's talk about Patreon and then go to the interview. I know I say it every episode, but you can support this show on Patreon. Your contribution there helps me pay for the hosting and equipment of this podcast, and in return, I post a special episode every month. This month, the episode is about writing therapy. It's my method to work through your feelings if you are feeling overwhelmed. My sponsorship starts at $2 per month, and you can stop whenever you want, so you can test and see if you like it or not. And you can decide the content of my next special episodes. So if you're interested, check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/thepartimeartist, patreon.com/thepartimeartist. So today I am interviewing T.A. Hernandez, who is a science fiction and fantasy author and who's all the way across the pond in the US. Welcome to the podcast, Annie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Could you please introduce yourself and tell the listeners what you do and who you are?
Yeah, so I'm T.A. Hernandez, and I'm an independent author and artist. And I also recently have picked up just kind of some self-taught graphic design stuff. I write mostly speculative fiction, so science fiction, fantasy, that kind of thing. But I also have a children's picture book out. And I just graduated from university with my master's degree in social work. And so I recently got a job as a therapist working with kids and families.
Wow, there's a lot to talk about here. Let's start with your latest books called Secrets of Peace. How did that project start?
Yeah, so Secrets of Peace is a new adult dystopian thriller trilogy, and it follows a girl named Zira who's been raised by this authoritarian government and trained to eliminate threats in their society. That kind of started back in 2010, 2011. It was before my first daughter was born. I knew I wanted to finish something before she came along because I probably wasn't going to have a lot of time to write after that with a new baby. And so I had just been through some really hard things in my life and had been really depressed and hadn't been writing very much and knew that I wanted to start writing again. Writing has always been kind of a really important part of my mental health, and I wanted to write a character who was kind of I guess, more strong and fierce and independent than I was feeling at the time, and didn't let other people keep her down. And so the character came first, and then the rest of the story just kind of followed from there.
That's awesome. How did you go from not writing very much to writing a trilogy, which is quite a lot?
Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be three books at the time. It was only supposed to be one. And then at the end, it kind of got away from me there. But it was kind of, I had always been writing novels before that and writing stories. Like, I wrote all through high school pretty intensely. And so that just, you kind of just write the story that wants to be written, and whether it's long or short. And so I just dove into it and wrote it. It didn't really work out the first time I wrote it, and I ended up working on it for about 4 years, and it just wasn't getting the kind of feedback from other people that I was hoping for or looking for, and there were just things that weren't working out about it. And so I put it away for about 9 months and didn't know if I would ever come back to it at all, actually. And during that time, I started writing a bunch of short stories and sent them out to various people, and actually ended up getting a couple of them published. But I found that that process of writing short stories was really helpful for me to just kind of go through the entire writing process from start to finish a few times so that I could kind of get a feel for it and understand what was working and what wasn't, and like how I needed to change that.
That's super interesting, and that's something I really recommend to a lot of writers. Just try the short format first because it takes less time and you have less opportunity to be completely discouraged by a whole book. I mean, it's incredible what you said, that you worked on your book for 4 years and then kind of left it on the side because it was just not working. 4 years is this there's a lot of persistence into continuing working on one story for so long.
Yeah, but it was devastating at the time to have to recognize that it's not working and I need to move on to other things. And that was really hard because, like you said, you put so much time into something, and then to have it not work out, that can be really hard. So I think that, I definitely think that writing short stories can be really helpful for other authors, if they're feeling stuck or if they're just having trouble even just finishing a novel. I know that's hard for a lot of, especially newer authors. And so, just try writing a couple short stories and see how it goes. At least, then you haven't sunk so much time and energy into one story. But
Yeah, I completely agree. And you said that at the beginning you started writing again because it was something that was helping with your mental health. But I assume that struggling on that story for so long was not really having the right effect. I assume that it was quite depressing too. So how did you deal with that?
I think that's where writing the short stories really helped me. Because as I started sending them out, I was getting a lot of rejection letters from different publications, but I was also getting a lot of really encouraging feedback. So they were kind of more personal rejection letters, some of them. And that was really validating to me and encouraging to know that, like, I could still write and I could still tell a good story. It just, just because that one book didn't work out, like, I had other stories that I could tell and that I could write, and it wasn't like something about me that was wrong.
That's awesome, absolutely awesome. And I think that's a really good advice for someone who's struggling in the same situation, to try to get something else out. And the rejections, I mean, I have received also a lot of rejections. When they start getting personalized and when they start giving you advice, that's when it's the good stuff, because that's when you know they have actually read it.
And I think that's something a lot of people that are newer don't really know even. They still just look at it as like another rejection letter, and that's discouraging. But if any personal comment that they leave you is actually a really good sign, so that's
Absolutely.
good.
And so when you went back to the book, what was the thing that made you finally finish it after so many years of struggling?
Yeah, so it sat there and I didn't touch it for about 9 months, and it just kept, the story just kind of kept popping back into my head. And at first I would kind of just push it aside and be like, no, like I've moved on from that and we're not gonna touch that right now. I can't, like, I'm just not in a good place mentally and emotionally to go back to that story. But eventually it just kept coming back and kept coming back. And once I actually sat down and really thought about it, just the pieces kind of started coming together, and I realized what specifically was wrong with it and what I needed to do to fix it. And I don't think that I would have been able to see that if I hadn't taken that break from the story. I think I was just so close to it and had been working on it for so long that I couldn't, you know, I needed to step back and look at it after I had some time to think about some things. And so, yeah, so I went back and rewrote it in about a year, and decided to self-publish book one in 2016. And then the other two books came out a year each one. So book two came out in 2017 and book three came out in 2018.
And so you self-published your books. How did you decide to self-publish? And was it always your purpose, or did you think maybe I'm going to get an agent, go to the traditional route of publishing?
Yeah, for a really long time, my goal had always been to kind of get a traditional publisher and look for an agent and do all of that stuff. But at the time, after I had rewritten Secrets of Peace, the first book, my critique partner actually had just self-published her books. She writes space opera. Her name's EJ Fish. And so she had decided to self-publish her books, which was something that I kind of had always, you know, I was definitely one of those people that was like, well, self-publishing isn't real publishing and, you know, all of that stuff.
Like a lot of authors think.
right. So I was definitely that person. But seeing her go through that process, and like, because I really respect and admire her writing. She's very talented, and like, her stories were ones that I thought easily could have gotten a traditional publisher had she decided to go that route. And so I started reading more independent or indie books, I guess, and just kind of saw that for the most part, you know, people really do put a lot of time and effort into those to make them as good as they possibly can be. You know, you're going to get bad ones out there just like you do in anything else. But for the most part, you know, they're just as good as traditionally published books. And I really like the idea of being able to have more control over my work, especially where this was a story that I had just spent, you know, 5 years of my life on. It was hard for me to imagine letting go of some of that control. And also just, it's such a long process to get a traditional publisher. And I just kind of wanted to move on from the story and, you know, work on other things. So for me, self-publishing felt like the right thing to do. I also really love the indie author community. Everyone's really supportive. Everyone's kind of in this together. And it's just a really encouraging environment, which I really value.
Oh, I 100% agree. And when I started writing, I always thought, oh, I'm going to get an agent and everything. And then I started listening to what other people were saying, listening to also podcasts talking about indie publishing. And indie publishing, I think, still has this kind of stereotype of people just putting everything they want out there. But it has become really professional in the past years.
Yeah, I think so. And I think those are for the most part, those are the books that are successful, are the ones that have, you know, people are taking it seriously and professionally. And so that's good. Good to see that perception change a little bit.
And you mentioned that you work with a critic partner. Do you also work with an editor for your books?
I haven't so far, and I definitely need to. It's just been kind of the cost prohibitive for me at this point. That's something that I want to do with future books. I do some like editing for other people, on the side, and my CP is really good at like spotting grammar errors and stuff like that too. And so between the two of us, we're usually, I mean, the book comes out pretty clean. I've never had anybody complain about the grammar or the editing before, but that's not saying that you shouldn't get an editor, because you should, and I need to take my own advice and go do that. But just with being a student and everything, that's not something that I've been able to afford up until just recently, now that I have a job. But
Yeah, it's true that when you are self-publishing, you have to also take into account that you will have some cost upfront. Obviously, you can find ways, and I think that the Critic Partner is the best way. If you really can't afford an editor, you can at least have someone else eyes on what you're writing, but you have also other costs linked to that. And actually, that's going to go into my next question, because you have costs linked to the cover, for example, to the illustrations if you are doing a children's book, and you are actually a graphic designer, so you did all of that yourself. That's amazing.
It was really, it's kind of convenient to be an artist and a author at the same time. I know not everybody has that, but you just have to kind of use what skills you have. And I happen to do art and have been trying to teach myself graphic design, and so it just kind of made sense for me to at least try to make my own covers, and then I liked how they turned out, so I just decided to use them.
And how do you deal with having all these different hats? So you are a graphic designer, you also do your marketing, you do your writing. How do you deal with being basically a one-person company?
I think for me the biggest thing is that I enjoy it. I enjoy drawing and I enjoy the graphic design stuff, especially with book cover design. I've just become really interested in that over the last few years. And so I like to learn and practice those skills. So it's kind of a fun challenge for me to do all of that, and I don't think about it so much as work or something that I, kind of have to do and have to balance. It's not something I would recommend to everyone. I think you have to enjoy it, or it just becomes really tedious and kind of awful. And at some point, you just kind of have to decide where you would rather put your time and energy. I don't mind putting my time and energy into the graphics and the illustrations and stuff like that. But for a lot of authors, I think they just want to write and just want to focus on writing. And if that's the case, it might be better to put that time and energy into writing instead of into teaching yourself all these other skills.
Absolutely. And I'm just really amazed by you doing all that, plus you were full-time students for a few years, and then you have a family too. How do you do that? Do you have
Yeah. No, I wish. That'd be
a time
nice.
turner?
No, it's hard sometimes, definitely. For me, it's not so much about balancing my time. It's more about making time and prioritizing different tasks with the time that I do have. And so just kind of figuring out what's most important and then doing those things. So I, like for me, I prioritize my family, school, or now it's going to be work, I guess, and then writing and art stuff. And that means that I don't watch as much TV or go out and socialize as much. It also means that maybe I let some of my household chores slide a little bit, but that's okay with me. I'm okay with that.
I think if there's one thing to sacrifice, I will always choose
Oh, yeah, for
the
sure.
chores. So let's talk about your job now and what you have studied for the past few years. You're a trained mental health therapist. That must give you a really great insight on people's struggles. And especially, I think in the writing community, we see people talking about that on Twitter, on Instagram, talking about things like depression, things like being stuck creatively, anxiety. So, what are the common problems you think for creative people?
I think the biggest one that I see most often is just feeling inadequate and feeling like we aren't good enough. I think a lot of that sometimes comes from comparing ourselves to other people. As creative people, we often tend to interact with other creative people, and then, you're surrounded by all of these really talented people, and it can be easy to start thinking, you know, well, I'll never be as good as so and so, or, you know, things like that, that are just really self-defeating. And then if taken too far, that can go to, you know, well, maybe I should just give up, and maybe I shouldn't write this story anymore, or whatever the case may be. But I think that's a big one that I see a lot. And just other kinds of discouragement. I know this is true in writing, and I think in a lot of other creative professions as well, but it can be really hard to gain any kind of traction with your stories or with your art or with anything. You know, you put your book out there, or you put up some of your art because you want other people to enjoy it, and then nothing happens and nobody seems to notice or care that you've got this story out there, and it's something that you spent a lot of time on and poured your heart and soul into. And then, you know, if nobody reads it or nobody sees your art, that can be really discouraging, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. You, as you said, you put so much into what you're doing, and then it's like nobody cares. It's not that that really nobody cares, but it's kind of like at some point you become obsessed with numbers. How many books have I sold? How many followers do I have? How many people have, left a review on Amazon or whatever? And it's really difficult to detach yourself from that and to go to the next project. I know that the advice is always like, you've written one thing, now it's gone, it's done, and you have to go to the next thing. But I think it's quite human for all of us to just double check the sales, to double check your followers and everything. So how do you think we can avoid that?
Yeah, I think it's different for everybody, but for me, I think the biggest thing that helps me is to remember why I'm writing in the first place. Most of us didn't start writing because we wanted the approval of other people. We started writing because we love to write. We love to tell stories. There's something about it that kind of just feeds your soul. And so when you get stuck, I think it's helpful for me at least to try to go back to those reasons and remind myself why I started writing in the first place, and that it wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't about, you know, getting reviews or however many people read my story. It was just because I had a story inside of me that I needed to get out. And that's ultimately why I'm writing. It's nice to have recognition from other people, but even if I didn't have that, you know, even if I wasn't publishing my stories, I would still write just for myself. I think also sometimes you just need to take a break, and that's okay too. You know, if a story is not working, just step back and let it go for a while. It's okay to give up on a project if you're not enjoying it anymore. And I think that's hard for people too sometimes, you know, after you've spent so much time on something, if you give up on it, it kind of feels like you've wasted all this time and effort. And I think you just kind of have to reframe that a little and look at it differently, because it's not really wasted time or effort. You know, chances are you still learn something from that experience, and it's okay to move on and to do other things.
I think you're absolutely right. Every story that you are going to write is going to teach you something, even if it doesn't get, as you say, traction, if it doesn't get published, or if you don't get it anywhere, or nobody's reading it. It has taught you something. If anything, it has taught you, well, that thing might not be working for people. So I always say that every story has really made me a better writer. And I think that's one thing to concentrate on. Absolutely. Now, do you think that when you say taking a break, people should just completely give up writing for a few weeks and do something else, or just write something different?
I think that's different for everybody, and you might have to experiment with that a little bit to find out what works for you. For me, usually I end up taking a break and just, even if it's just for a week or two, that I'm doing other things. So that's usually when I'll work on all my art stuff, is kind of in between stories or in between drafts of a book. But other people might be able to just switch over and write something different and keep writing, even if they're not working on the same story. So I think you just kind of have to try different things and figure out what works for you.
And do you think that what you have studied, and now that you understand more the mechanism of, you know, mental health and issues and things like that, do you understand more yourself and what you've gone through with the first book?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing about, I guess, being a therapist, is that they really encourage you to, like, you know, do your own soul searching, and even go do your own therapy if you need to, because you need to understand yourself before you can really help other people. And so that's definitely helped me, you know, not just with my creative stuff, but with other things in my life, to really step back and look at those things from a different perspective, I guess.
Oh yeah, I think I would recommend everyone who feels like they're struggling to just, yeah, get a therapy, talk to someone who's experienced, mm-hmm. because that can help you tremendously, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And even if it's not even like a therapist, you know, I think that's great and that's awesome, but I think that there's still some stigma around that for some people, you know, that they don't want to go see a shrink or whatever, you know, but it doesn't have to even be a therapist. Just talk to somebody, you know.
But I agree. You might have some counselor advisors. If you're part of a church, for example, you would have someone there. If you're part of a school, if you're part, even at work, more and more people are talking about well-being in your day job, and that's super important. And now, actually talking about that, because you are going to still combine your job and writing, how do you plan on doing that? And do you feel like you have to be really happy at your job to be able to write on the side?
I think I need to write in order to stay healthy and be the best mental health practitioner that I can be. For me, it kind of works the other way around, I guess. Writing and art has always been just a really important part of my own personal self-care, and those are kind of the things that I do to, I guess, stay sane and be happy. They're really valuable for my mental health.
That's very, very interesting, because I've, in my, you know, my experience is that I needed to be happy at work to be able to write. But actually, I understand also the opposite, is that if you're writing and you feel fulfilled by that, then the other parts of your life are going to be happier and more fulfilled, I guess.
Yeah, for me, that's definitely true.
And let's talk about some advice that you would have, because now you are an experienced writer. You have this trilogy published, the children's book published. What would you advise to someone who's starting, who's at their first book, and they're really struggling, because we all know that writing a book is really difficult?
Yeah, just remember that you have a unique voice and you have unique creations to share with the world. So don't let yourself forget that when you feel lost and invisible in a sea full of other talented people. And also just remember that your worth isn't measured by your creative output. You know, you're more than just what you create or what you write. So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I think a lot of times we get caught up in that, you know, your output, if you're not writing the next book, or if you're not putting out this many books in a year, then you're not going to make it as an author, or you're not going to be successful. I think that can just be really hard for people, you know, you really are worth so much more than just what you put out there. So try not to lose sight of that.
Absolutely, and I think in certain part of the writing community, if you don't publish one book every 6 months, that means that you are nothing, and that's not true, really. Some books take more time than others. Some people take also more time than others. It's not there's not one rule.
Yeah, no, and you know, you kind of have to, I think if you start trying to live up to everybody else's expectations, that's when it can be easy to get really discouraged, because for a lot of people those might be unrealistic expectations. For me, they are. Like, I could never put out a book every 6 months. That's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, it is quite quick. And I think unless you are doing that full time, that's probably very difficult. And even
for
full
sure.
time, there are authors who don't do that because
No.
simply that's not their method. And I think
Right.
everyone has a process and you have to respect that, personal
Yeah.
process. All right. Well, where can people find you if they want to continue their discussion with you?
Yeah, so you can go to my website at tahernandez.com, or I'm on Twitter and Instagram at TA_Hernandez5.
Okay, I will put all these links on the show notes so people can click on them. And do you have any coming project? What's your next book?
Yeah, so right now I'm getting, I think, hopefully closer towards the end of this fantasy novel that I'm writing. It's called Calico Thunder Rides Again. It's set on a magical traveling circus in an alternate version of 1920s America. So there's a dragon and speakeasies and mobsters, and it's just a really fun story.
Oh my God, that is really tempting. As soon as you said circus, dragon, okay, I'm in for it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being in the
Yeah.
podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And I will see all of you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening to the Pater Matis podcast. If you want more advice and inspiration, head to the website, thepartumartistinoneword.com, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you enjoyed the show.